Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I'm your host here today. Autism Empowerment Radio is one of a variety of free programs and services that our nonprofit charity Autism Empowerment offers. And Autism Empowerment is dedicated to providing acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment for individuals and families of all ages and abilities within the autism and Asperger communities. Today's guest for our show is Jack Ory. He's a motivational speaker and freelance writer and author who we're excited to have back on air. Our topic is conflict resolution for people with Asperger's. We know that this can be a tricky and sticky subject, but it's certainly one to explore. If you happen to miss Jack's first show with Autism Empowerment Radio, he was originally on air with us on September 12th, where the topic was entrepreneurship, freelance writing, and employment for individuals on the autism spectrum. And if you happen to miss that show, you can go ahead and click back into the archives. That's on podcast, and you can listen to that at any time. I know that the show today is going to be very interesting, and I'm going to be bringing Jack on here shortly, but I have a few short announcements first. First of all, I'd like to thank my special guest yesterday. That was Erica Schwan, and she was on, that was on Tuesday, I'm sorry, and she talked about small service dogs for those with autism. It was really very interesting. I'm not sure how many of you out there have awareness of service dogs for those with autism, but a lot of us had thought that, service dogs were generally larger dogs, but we learned actually from Erica that smaller dogs can be great service dogs for people on the autism spectrum. Erica is the owner of Cherish Chihuahua Companion, and she's open to answering questions from individuals out there listening to any of our broadcasts who have questions about small service dogs and how they can help individuals on the autism spectrum. So be sure to go ahead and listen to that broadcast as well if you find it of interest. On Friday, September 28th, tomorrow, at 4 p.m. Pacific, I'm excited to bring on a devoted father and scouter named Sean Williams. The reason we're bringing Sean on is he hosted an event earlier in the year called the Great Race Autism Acceptance, and he did that at a Scoutorama exhibition in St. Charles, Illinois. It was one of those types of exhibitions where it gave people who were not familiar with autism an opportunity to experience a little bit of what it's like for those of us on the spectrum to live the life the way we do on a daily basis. And it's really a fascinating thing he did, and we're going to have him talk about that, the different stations he had. He's also been a founder of a venturing crew, which is part of the BSA, that teaches scouting specifically with life skills for 13 to 21-year-olds on the autism spectrum or who have other special needs. Sean himself, he's a father to a son with Asperger's who achieved Eagle rank in scouting. And so we're going to talk to Sean about his acceptance event, scouting, and also how autism acceptance events are things that you can run throughout the country. It's something that we'd like to replicate at Autism Empowerment and thought some of our listeners out there might like to host an event in their community like this as well. If you haven't yet subscribed to the Autism Empowerment Radio channel, you can do so for free. You can do so through blogtalkradio.com by searching for Autism Empowerment, or you can also now do that through iTunes or go to Google and plug in Autism Empowerment in iTunes, and it'll go ahead and bring up our feed. All our shows are on podcast and can be downloaded for free to your mobile devices. So if you happen to find a particular show topic interesting and wanted to share it with your colleagues or family, that's really a good way to do so. And if you have the opportunity, we'd appreciate a positive rating at iTunes as well. What this does is puts our show higher in the rankings, and it makes our content more easily accessible to more people. As our show has been on air for about 3 months, we really appreciate all that support. So thank you there. So again, today's featured guest is Jack. Jack is a motivational speaker, freelance writer, entrepreneur, and founder of SJA Advocacy, Changing the World One Word at a Time. Jack has an Asperger's diagnosis but has not let that hold him back. He's been writing and speaking about self-acceptance, finding your voice, and empowerment for those on the autism spectrum since 2009. He's the author of over 5,000 freelance articles about legal, business, and self-help topics, and he's a book author as well. He has a master's in creative writing from the University of Southern California and a bachelor's in psychology. He also spent a couple years as a special education teacher. If you have questions about anything that we're talking about today and you'd like to call in, our phone number is 602-753-1530. That's 602-753-1530. If we don't have time to get to your questions or you're listening on podcast, Jack can be reached at his website, www.sja-advocacy.com. And I also wanted to mention that Jack is the guest blogger at autismempowerment.org for September 27th, when, with his permission, we reposted his article, Conflict Resolution for People with Asperger's, which gives a lot of tips that you can read and plug into right away. I was really impressed with the article, and so I wanted to have Jack on air today to specifically talk about that. So after the show, after you have a chance to listen to what Jack has to say, if you want to check out that article as well, you can do so directly from our website. So let's go ahead and get Jack, let's get going and bring Jack back on the air. Jack, welcome back to Autism Empowerment Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, it's a real delight to have you back, Jack. It really is. Conflict is something that those of us with Asperger's, it's a difficult topic to tackle. As much as one may try to stay clear of it, it's unavoidable. So you wrote a really great article about conflict resolution on your SJA Advocate blog, which offered some specific tips for handling conflict, and I was hoping you would go over those today with our listeners.
Sure, I'd love to. I first want to say that I created this blog in part because I know I've struggled with conflict in the past, and I know some other friends on the spectrum who, when I talk to them about some conflicts they've had in their lives, have said things like, oh, but I can't walk away because the other person's feelings might be hurt if I don't talk when I'm angry, and things like that. So I wanted to try to reach out to the community and let us all know that there are ways of dealing with conflict that really is okay.
And what are some of those ways?
Okay, so the first kind of things, I've split it up into a couple of different topics. One is that you have to be comfortable with your own anger before you can really resolve any kind of conflict. So what I'd like to start with is talking about what we can do with our emotions. And the first thing is that it's okay to have any kind of feeling. So remember that if you're feeling angry or upset about someone, what someone did, that's totally legitimate. In the blog, I said, remember that all feelings are okay to have, and that includes anger. A lot of times I think people on the spectrum are kind of like, well, because I'm not that good at social cues or knowing what's appropriate, maybe I have no right to be angry. And even if nobody else in the world would be angry about whatever it is you're angry about, it's still your emotion and you still have the right to it. But what you need to keep in mind is that even though you have the right to your anger, that doesn't mean any behavior is okay. It's your behavior that you want to check and make sure that you're acting in a way that's appropriate. So it's totally okay to be angry. Screaming in someone's face or following them around when they're like, I'm going to talk about this later or anything like that is not appropriate. But if you can remember that anger is just an emotion and it's just information, it's just more data going in, even though it may be kind of an intense and uncomfortable kind of data, then you can look at that emotion and be like, okay, what is this trying to tell me? And usually with anger, underneath anger is hurt, so it's usually trying to tell you that you don't like what someone did, you feel like they took something from you, or they did something that was hurtful to you. And knowing that, you can then decide what to do about it.
So it sounds like you want people to allow themselves to feel that anger and or sadness or hurt and then decide how they want to handle it?
Yes. exactly. There's a two-step process. You've got to acknowledge and process the emotion, and then once you know what you're feeling, then you can decide what you want to do about it. I know that a particular challenge for those of us with Asperger's, because of the black and white thinking, we have a tendency to think of people in a black and white way, that either this person is awesome and perfect, or they're horrible. And that's something that we really need to work on and watch out for, because I think part of the problem with conflict for us is if you're angry at your friend or you feel that they did something that you don't want them to have done, then it can be hard for our brains to accept this person is my friend, but they did this. Our brains tend to be like, this person can't be my friend anymore because they did something that upset me. And so we kind of do have to move past that black and white thinking. We have to look at the idea of you can be angry and it's a temporary state. That's the other thing about feelings you have to keep in mind, besides the fact that it's okay to have any feeling. All feelings are temporary. So if you're feeling angry now and you process it and deal with it, you might be feeling happy and loving towards this person a little while later. And even though that seems contradictory, it really isn't, because remember, our feelings are giving us data. So right now, your feelings might be telling you, this person upset me. Later, these feelings might be telling you, I really like being with this person. And so it's all based on your behavior and their behavior in the moment. And so don't think that if you're angry at someone, that means the relationship has to end. Try to get away from that black and white thinking.
So is there something that people can do, you know, I mean, when you're in the heat of feeling a lot of these emotions, what do you recommend a person do during that time? Like, to say they've just experienced a conflict and they're feeling anger or hurt. What do you recommend on that?
Okay, so there are a couple of different things that can be done. If you're feeling intense emotion, you do have to kind of put a space between you and the other person. And so the first thing you need to do is take some breaths to calm yourself a little bit. You don't have to calm yourself fully, but calm yourself enough that you can just say, I need some space. I'll be back. I need to think about this. I'm upset. Because especially when you're not used to dealing with conflicts, you do need to go ahead by yourself, even if it's just for a minute, to walk away and process the emotion. Another thing I like to do is I do a lot of journaling. So for me, when I'm in that intense emotional state, while I'm getting my space, one of the things that helps me is to write down what's bothering me so that I can kind of see it and get out of my system before I talk to the person. Another thing that can help some people is listening to music that reflects how they feel. That can be very cathartic and help you to realize and overcome any feelings. And like I said, the first couple of times, it gets easier. The first couple of times you do this, you're going to need to definitely walk away, get some space. Then as you get used to processing emotions and anger is easier and more comfortable for you, you might actually get to the point where all you need to do is say to the person, give me a second, and then you can process that emotion and then come back to the conversation. So the key points to remember are get some space either physically or mentally by like taking those deep breaths to get some mental space. Walk away if you have to. If your emotions are really intense and you feel like you can't talk right now or you can't deal with things right now, it's okay to walk away and do what you need to process them, whether that's writing about them, listening to music, watching videos, whatever you need to do to calm yourself and figure out what you're feeling, and then you can come back to the conversation after that.
That makes a lot of sense. I have a question for you, though. So what if you're in a situation where the person that you're with doesn't allow you that type of space?
Okay. That's a really good question, and I think it's an important thing to address, because this could happen at work as well as at home. Depending on the nature of the relationship, you may or may not be able to get space at that moment. If you're at work and you're with a boss or something where you can't walk away, that's when it's really important to get some space, at least mentally. So that's when you're going to take some deep breaths and remember that you don't have to answer right away. You can use active listening sometimes as kind of a way to get yourself some time. Like, if your boss says something to you that makes you really angry, like, suppose you're at work and your boss is, like, yells at you in front of the whole work group, and that can be pretty upsetting, and I know some people would be, like, really, really upset that their boss just yelled at them, and that could make you angry. Well, obviously, since the boss is criticizing you, you can't just walk away if you want to keep your job. But what you can do is you can take some deep breaths, and what you can do is kind of make a game out of it where, like, the boss is yelling at you about how you missed the deadline on a project, let's say, and you're angry that he's criticizing you in front of everybody. So what you can do is, after you take your deep breath, you can use active listening to repeat what he's saying, and you do this in as even and as calm a tone as you possibly can. You might be able to say, "I hear that you're upset that I missed the deadline." And that can sometimes really help, because it gets your focus off of you and your feelings so that you're actually hearing what he's saying. It makes it clear to him and everyone around him that you hear what he's saying. And it helps de-escalate things, because you're not yelling back or contributing to the conflict. You're just repeating what he's saying. Now, in that kind of situation, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to do things to de-escalate like that. And the most important principles are: keep your tone soft and even. Don't yell. Don't scream. Focus on understanding where the other person is coming from. And then later, once the situation is de-escalated and you have some space from it, you can have some time to think things over and decide what your next step is. And you very often can then go to the person later and say, you know, when you're both calm, when this happened, it upset me. Next time, would you please, whatever it is you would want them to do instead? And that way, you're not contributing to the conflict directly by giving into it. You are de-escalating things.
That makes a lot of sense. You're de-escalating it, and then you have an opportunity to advocate for yourself when things are a little bit less heated, and you know, you can be proactive with it.
Exactly. And always keep in mind, too, that any one conflict doesn't mean anything. Like, if you have one incident where your boss does something like that, but generally you get along with him, you don't want to leave that job because of that. But if this happens all the time, and you've talked to him privately at a time where you're both calm, and he says, okay, sure, but then the next day he's doing that again, then you might want to think about looking for a different job so that you can eventually get out of that situation. Because one of the things I think is tricky about conflict resolution is deciding when to give up on the relationship and when to try to work things through. And my rule is, generally, I like to give people at least 3 chances, because whenever you're introducing anything new, we Aspies know this very well, because we're so resistant to change that if you're introducing a new idea, like talk to me in private instead or whatever, that it oftentimes can take people time to adjust to that idea and be willing to do it. So I like to give people multiple chances. But if you've talked to someone 3 or 4 times and it seems like you're having the same conversation and conflict over and over, then it might be time to move on from that situation altogether.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. But what happens if that situation, say it's not an employment situation, say it's a situation within one's family, and you can't necessarily step away from that family member. Do you have any suggestions in that way?
Okay. Well, family members, there are a couple of things. One is that you do want to keep in mind that even though they are your family, that you still have the right to be treated properly. So you want to think about how you can assert yourself without ending the relationship if it's a relationship that you feel like you can't get away from. If it's a specific incident with a family member, you can do the same things as like with the work situation, that in terms of breathing deeply, repeating back, don't escalate, talk to the person privately. You also want to focus on the positive qualities of the person. With family members, a lot of times there's a more of a history, so it's a kind of thing where you might be able to say, like, say it's a conflict with your brother. You can say, you know, we've grown up together. I really admire you. I'm glad that we continue to have a relationship, but it would be easier for me if you such and such. So if you come from the point of view during, after the escalation, after you de-escalate and you're having that calm kind of debriefing kind of talk where you're explaining what went wrong, if you come from the point of view of, I want to still have a relationship with you, I know you want to have a relationship with me, let's work this out, that can be really helpful.
That makes a lot of sense. It's non-threatening. You're letting them know that they're important to you, and that kind of goes along with your tip about trying to see the other person on the same side in some ways.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the major things about conflict, is when we get into a conflict with anybody, somehow it always becomes like, I want this, you want that, we're enemies. And that seems to be the thought process that goes on. And it often goes on a subconscious level, so you don't realize really what's going on. But what you need to do really to resolve a conflict is get on the same side as the person. So that's where empathy and summarizing both come in, because as we know, as people with Asperger's and autism, sometimes it's hard to look at the other person's point of view, and that's why I was recommending the idea of repeating back what they say, because that helps you understand where they're coming from. Once you understand their point of view and they understand your point of view, it's a lot easier to manage the conflict, because one thing you can do during this debriefing, discussing how to do better in the future kind of thing, is you can come across like this, and this works either in work situations or personal situations. You can say, I want this, you want that, how can we work it out? So, for example, with a boss, you can go to the boss and say, from our conversation earlier, I understand that you want projects to be done on time, and I want to be able to talk to you privately if you have a problem rather than in public in front of everybody. What can we do to work this out? And then you can brainstorm with the person where you throw out ideas. And it's particularly important to brainstorming to remember not every idea is going to be adopted. So say you're having a conflict with each other. Say that you need absolute quiet to study because otherwise you'll be distracted. Your brother is listening to music. Okay, this is a common conflict that comes up with roommates, family members, or whoever that you're living with. So, say you're having a conflict like that, and you've done some brainstorming for me. You said, you need music to do your work, I need absolute quiet to do my work. How can we work this out? And say the first idea that he comes up with is, I have an idea, this is my idea, you ignore it when I put my music on. Well, you might be like, that's not going to work, that's ridiculous, that's just you getting your way. And you might be like mad and want to just give up, but just remember that's just an idea. So you can write that on the board, use a dry erase board or make a list or wherever you're writing it. You can just write that down as one idea. Then you go through and you come up with other ideas. When you have 5 or 10 ideas and you're ready to look at the ideas, then you can go through calmly. And you can say, well, I don't think this idea of me just ignoring your music is going to work because that's what's been causing a conflict for me. So let's cross that one off the list. And that's a lot easier than fighting about it. So when you're trying to work on a conflict with someone, you know, let them have their idea. Even if it sounds ridiculous, don't argue with their ideas. Just put everything down and then later on, when you're ready to talk about those ideas, then you can say, let's not do that one.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, they're feeling like they're being listened to, at least to be able to get their ideas out on the table, but then, and that might make them more receptive to being, well, to listen to your ideas and to be able to come to a solution that's going to work for both of you.
Exactly. And that's really what conflict is all about. It's all about communicating and coming to something that works for everybody, because there's always going to be times where you disagree with people, and there's always going to be times when someone's behavior is bothering you. But if you don't communicate about it, and you just are like, okay, that's it, I'm done, and walk away from the job or the family or whoever, that's never going to work. But if you communicate about it and you allow both of you to have your say and you both really listen to each other, then you'd be amazed at what you can solve. And I think that's really what it's all about. We have this tendency to think, and I think especially for those of us with Asperger's or autism, because we've been picked on or misunderstood or we don't always understand where other people are coming from, we have a real tendency to be like, okay, this person did this, they're no good. And so we don't have to be in fight mode. We don't have to be defensive against one another most of the time. We can work things out. And I think that's really what all of this comes to, is just finding a way to be empathetic and to communicate your point and just to listen to one another and try to find a solution that works.
Well, I completely agree with that. You know, there's people out there in the autism Asperger's community, or I should say even outside of it, who like to say that those of us on the spectrum don't have empathy, and which is something that, you know, I disagree with. What is your point on that, or what is your opinion on that? And talk to us a little bit about your tip about stretching your empathy muscles.
Sure. I love talking about empathy because I do not believe that most people with Asperger's or autism lack empathy. I think sometimes we get caught up in our point of view and it might be difficult to understand someone else's point of view. And I also think sometimes we can't communicate our empathy that well. But there is no way that we're not empathetic. If anything, I'm more emotional and more in tune than some people I know who are neurotypical, and I think it's just a matter of communicating it. So I think that it's important to stretch those empathy muscles and to try to see the situation from someone else's point of view, because that's the only way you're ever going to be able to understand how the conflict is occurring or try to find a solution, because we can't find a solution if we're only focused on us. So both you and the other person have to understand one another. And so when I say stretch your empathy muscle, there are a couple of different things you can do. One of the big things is to ask yourself, why might that person have done that? Because sometimes when we're angry, there's an assumption, there's like this assumption behind it that they're doing this to hurt us. And it might not be the case. I think in my blog I used the example of, this person didn't return my phone call, they're just ignoring me. But if you can kind of, one of the games I like to play is, how many different reasons can we think of for this behavior? Like, if the situation is they didn't return my phone call, okay, let me think how many reasons there could be that they didn't return my phone call. And the crazier the better. Maybe they lost their phone. Maybe they didn't have my phone number stored in their contacts and they accidentally deleted the message. Maybe their phone isn't working. Maybe they had a busy day at work and so they haven't had a chance. Maybe they're taking a nap at the moment that I want them to call me back. So you see all of these different ideas start coming to you, and once you start thinking like that, you might be like, well, it may not be that they're ignoring me, and so maybe I don't need to be angry, and maybe your anger will dissipate a little bit.
Yeah, it can be really easy to take things personally, especially if, like you say actually in your blog, if it's not natural for you to try to take other people's perspectives.
Yes, exactly.
But once you've acknowledged those feelings and processed them, then what's the next step after that?
So now you can use that to help you address a conflict. So that empathy is really important for that, because if you're coming from a position of anger and taking things personally, you might come up to your friend and be like, why didn't you return my phone call? And that's not really going to be a conducive conversation, because they're on the defensive, you're angry, you're going to end up with an argument. But if instead you can look from their point of view and you can say, okay, well, they didn't return my phone call, that's what's going on, and I don't know what the reason is, but I know that it upsets me, and you come up with those reasons like we talked about, then when you talk to your friend, you can call up to them and you can be like, hey, I called you on Wednesday night, and I was expecting a phone call by Friday, and I didn't get one. I was wondering, is something going on that prevented you from calling me back? Then that's a much more equal position to start the conversation with, and you'll be able to talk a little bit more with the person and find out what's going on, because you're not coming from this position of you did something wrong.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that, you know, you say not, you know, putting yourself in a position where you're not going to immediately put someone on the defensive is
yes.
so critical, you know, because it's hard, even though we may be taking things personally, we have to remember that the other person may be taking it personally as well, just as much as we are. So setting it up for there to be peace rather than conflict is a great way to, you know, to start the conversation out.
Exactly.
Now, what would you say, now a lot of these skills and these strategies that you're giving are very helpful, and I can see how adults would understand it, but what about like teenagers or people that are a little bit younger that are going through things? Is there any way to be able to word it or to say that, you know, or any strategies that you can help for, say, maybe teenagers going through the same thing? Or would you suggest they do the same stuff?
I think pretty much the same stuff of teenagers. Now, you do have to remember, if you're a teenager, that your parents are not going to see you as an equal. Adults may not see you as an equal. And so for teenagers, a lot of times, the most important tips are the ones that we talked about, what to do if you can't just walk away. Because realistically, if you're mad at your parents about something, you can't just be like, well, I'm not part of the family anymore, I'm going to go live elsewhere if you're 15. But you can remember those tips about, I'm going to walk away for a minute, or take some deep breaths, or do the act of listening that we talked about for when you can't just walk away. Those can be really helpful when dealing with parents or teachers. The other thing is, sometimes you do need someone to advocate for you. Not that you can't do it just by yourself, but like if you're having a conflict with a teacher, say, the teacher gave you a poor grade and you don't think it's deserved. Sometimes if you've gone as far as you can with that teacher and you have not gotten where you want to go and you're not getting anywhere, it is totally okay to enlist your parents and be like, I have a problem with this teacher at school. Can you help me? Or enlist another teacher or go to the principal or something like that.
And what also, like, sometimes, unfortunately, those of us on the spectrum, sometimes we encounter people who bully us, and it may be at a younger age. It may be even as adults in the workplace. If you face somebody who isn't interested in conflict resolution but seems to be more of someone that just wants to cause the conflict, do you have any strategies in dealing with that?
Yes. Okay. That's really an important point, because even though we're talking about conflict resolution, sometimes walking away is the conflict resolution. If you're dealing with somebody who is a bully and they're just attacking you, you do not need to stand there and listen to someone attacking you. If you can, walk away, let somebody else know what's going on, or, you know, just listen to, if you can't get away, keep going into that mental space where you keep breathing deeply and you keep either, you don't have to repeat it back if it's a bully. If someone's bullying you, you don't need to keep saying, oh, so I hear that you think blah, blah, blah about me, because that's not going to be productive. But you can just keep taking deep breaths and kind of not say anything. Sometimes helps when it comes to bullies. But again, if you can walk away from a bully, the best thing to do is just do it. I know because I, in addition to being part of the Asperger's community and part of the LGBT community, that I run across people who are like, somebody said something to me about being gay or transgender, and I said, well, the Bible really says this, and it created a conflict. You don't even need to do that. You never need to convince someone else that you're right if they're bullying you. You just need to get out of that situation.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, are there other tips or other strategies? We have about 9 minutes left in our broadcast. This one's going a little bit longer. Normally we have 30-minute shows, but I knew that Jack was going to have so much great content for us that we extended this one to 45. So I want to be able to have you talk to anything else in relation to conflict resolution that we may not have covered.
Okay. I think that the most important thing also is to ask yourself, after you get good at this, you can ask yourself, how important is this? Because sometimes you want to resolve the conflict, like if it's with a family member or a friend or something, and sometimes, like we're just talking about with bullies, you just want to walk away. You get to a point where it's like you don't want to go off on everything, and you don't want to overuse these skills. Like, you don't want to waste your energy on a conflict that can't be resolved. And so it's important to ask yourself, how important is this to me? And also ask yourself, I lost my train of thought there for a second, but ask yourself if you think it's likely that you're going to be able to resolve the conflict. And that's really what it comes to. Like, for a bully, you're not likely to convince them that you're right or you're worthy or whatever, so you don't want to waste your energy. With a family member, you do want to, you probably are going to be able to make some headway and communicate. So always ask yourself those two questions. How likely am I to be able to resolve this conflict, and how important is this conflict to me? Like, going back to the kids who are studying and one kid is playing music and the other kid wants quiet. Is it really rated on a scale from 1 to 10? How annoying is your brother being? If it's like a 6 or 7, yeah, you need to resolve this conflict. But if you're just a little bit annoyed, like you're like, I don't really care that he plays music, but right now that song is annoying me because I'm just in a mood, and it's like a 1 or a 2, you might be able to ignore it and just let it go.
Right, so you kind of have to, in some ways, learn to choose your battle when
yes.
It's, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
And also, as far as the workforce, you know, that's something where, you know, you mentioned the conflict with the boss and being able to step away and talk with him or her in a private moment. What about conflicts like, say, you have to be in a situation where you're working on projects with other people and they may not be as receptive to your ideas. Is that another area where you do the brainstorming, or how does that work in those types of situations?
Again, depends on how important it is to you. Like, is it important if you feel like you're not being listened to? It is important to assert yourself, not in a sense of, hey, you're not listening to me, but using all the tools that we talked about to say, I've had some ideas too, and I'd really like some feedback on my ideas as well. If you put it that way, always try to put it in terms of what the other person can do to help instead of in terms of what they're doing that you don't like. That can be really helpful. You also want to remember, if you're working in a group, that just like you don't want your boss to be yelling at you in front of the group, try to avoid criticizing people in that manner in front of the group. If you're having a problem with one member of the group, it's better to try to talk to them privately, one-on-one, like instead of saying in front of everybody, nobody's listening to my ideas, that's not really helpful. You can make time to talk privately with the person who's contributing the most ideas that are being used and be like, hey, I have a problem. I'm really enjoying the ideas you're putting out, but I feel like nobody is listening to my ideas. What can we do about that? And that tends to work a lot better.
So approaching people more on a one-on-one basis rather than calling them out in front of a group seems to be more effective.
Yes, that's definitely more effective because in front of groups, people get way more defensive because then you get into, are you embarrassing them in front of their friends or their coworkers or whatever? And that can be a problem. Now, with group situations, there is sometimes a problem, and I ran into this when I was in school a lot, that sometimes one person seems to be doing all the work. And that is something you definitely want to address. Like, if you feel like you're doing all the work, then you do need to document that, like, list all the work you've done, and then you do need to say, and that is the kind of thing you do want to say in front of the group. That's the only time that I would say don't go one-on-one. In front of the group, you would want to say, I've done this, this, and this, and I really need some help because I'm feeling overworked. What's the best way to help me? And again, always try to stay away from that defensive posture of you're doing this wrong, and always focus on how can we help. How can we help each other? And that seems to diffuse conflict as well.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I do have a question for you also. Now, sometimes in email there will be conflict between people, and it's hard to read tone when you're reading somebody's words. So do you have any strategies if you have a conflict where it's that you read an email from somebody and you're not sure exactly how to take it? Is there anything you suggest with that? Do you prefer one-on-one conversations, or how do you deal with email challenges or writing?
Email challenges are that's very important. I actually ran into this a couple of weeks ago with somebody who I misinterpreted an email they had written, and I thought it was something personal that it wasn't. And this is where it's important to ask questions. Asking questions is an important communication skill as well, because sometimes when we make these assumptions and we take things personally, then we get into that offensive, defensive thing where we're like, well, you said this, and it's not what the person said at all. So if you get something in email, like what happened to me was my friend had said something in a group email that I felt was directed towards me in a negative way, you can go privately, message that person privately, email them privately, not to the whole group, just to them, and be like, When you typed that, I felt hurt, or I felt whatever, I felt like you were trying to attack me personally. Was that what you were trying to do? And that way you can open up a conversation, because in my case, when I said that, the person responded, oh, no, I wasn't talking about you at all. I was talking about this other situation, and we were able to talk it through. And so you can see the difference between did you intend to say this way, or am I misinterpreting, and you said this and it's wrong. One is a conversation, the other is an argument.
That makes perfect sense. You want to keep that conversation and, you know, let them, you don't want to put them on the defense.
Right.
In any way. Now, I was just looking, we have about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to be able to have you go ahead and promote your website, and I believe that you're going to be doing a freelance writing seminar coming up in December, and I wanted to have you talk about anything in the last couple minutes that you'd like to share about yourself and SJA Advocacy.
Sure. I am going to be doing, in December, a webinar about making money as a freelance writer, so I haven't got that quite set up yet, but if you go to my website, www.sja-advocacy.com, you'll see a link at the top of the page to sign up for my newsletter. If you sign up for that newsletter, we can keep you informed of everything that's going on. The other thing is, I am a life coach for the Asperger's community, and so if you have any specific questions or specific concerns about conflicts that are in your life that you would like one-on-one consultation, I am currently doing one-on-one consultations with people for $25 for half an hour, and you can contact me through either my website or my blog, which is the sjadvocate.wordpress.com, if you'd like some more information about that.
That's wonderful, and, you know, I hope that people actually do take advantage of your services, because you are a wealth of information, and honestly, I think that when we hear from our peers that are on the spectrum ourselves, it makes it that much more understandable, because it's coming from someone who gets us, you know?
Yes, definitely. I think so, too, because it's one of the reasons that I do this kind of work is to make connections with other people in the Asperger's autism community, because sometimes it just does feel like we live in a different world and we really don't need to feel that way.
No, I absolutely agree with you. So I've got about 10 seconds left, Jack. I want to thank you so much again for coming back to Autism Empowerment Radio. We hope to have you back again in the future. And people, please go ahead and check out Jack's blog, guest blog that accompanies our show today. It's on the autismempowerment.org website. We thank you very much for tuning in. And Jack, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day, afternoon, evening, everyone. Bye.